Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a terrific Tuesday today. Got a few wild topics and articles we got going on. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Oh, Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I'm hoping my Skype signal stays strong so I'll be able to not have to do the cell phone again today. So, yeah, kind of say a little prayer for me because we keep the thing going real good. So what's your first story, bud?
Well, this is pretty wild. This came in today. This has been all over a lot of the news places, and this really is going to show you what I have been talking about for the last couple years of school systems, primarily public school systems, being just indoctrination camps is what they've turned into. I mean, to the fullest extent of that definition. And we've seen it more and more as far as them forcing kids to comply, obey all the time. Not necessarily that that's bad where you're dealing with middle schoolers, high schoolers in school settings, but where they're teaching them what they want them to learn from the globalist perspective. One of those aspects is the demonization and absolute hatred that the globalists have for firearms and the ability to defend yourself in a safe manner. School systems across the country, as we've seen for the last 10 to 15 years now, have done a concerted effort at making sure they make children believe that firearms are bad, they're horrible, can't talk about them, can't mention them, can't use your finger in the shape of a gun, can't bite a Pop-Tart in the shape of a gun, all the stuff we've talked about for years. Well, now it's taken it a step further. A middle school student up in Trenton, Ohio, literally just got out of a 10-day suspension. He was a 7th grader at Edgewood Middle School, originally was slapped with a 10-day suspension after the school somehow found out he liked a photo of an airsoft gun on Instagram. This is how crazy it gets. Now, apparently somebody was spying on his Instagram account from school and turned him in. They interviewed this kid. He's 13 years old. He goes, I didn't think there was anything wrong. He goes, I was scrolling down Instagram. I hit the like button on an airsoft gun that a buddy of mine has. The next morning, they called me in. I'm patted down, searched, checked for weapons. They tell me I'm getting suspended. They brought his parents in. His parents were irate. They said, we're suspending him for 10 days because he liked to pitch of a gun on Instagram. They said, did he share it? Did he make a comment on it? Did he make a threatening post? They said, no, nothing like that at all. He just liked the photo of it on there. They said his son's decision to like the photo, which included the caption, ready, was harmless. They said the young man posted it and his son liked it, along with four other kids who play airsoft in a field together. Now, what's wild about this is the school actually had to get an attorney, and there was a friend of theirs, to come in and step in and say, you guys can't just start suspending kids for liking a photo on Instagram. After it got basically escalated to this level, the school backed down and dropped the entire suspension, which, quite frankly, it should never even happen in the first place. But this is what I have been telling you guys about for years. These kids are in these schools system 6, 7, 8 hours a day every single week for extended years of their life, and they're being fully indoctrinated to learn and believe what the globalists teach them, and to now that any type of liking, viewing, pretending, purchasing, anything you can possibly think of that relates to a gun, they want to demonize it. So this is where we're at now, Dad, in the school system, where we're actually suspending kids for liking photos on Instagram. And not only that, they also sent an email out to the entire parents. All the parents of the school got an email that morning that they told them, well, we had a call and report that somebody was going to bring a gun to school, and we handled it this morning and took care of it, the child that we had the issue with. Send an email out. And it all was pertaining to this one Instagram post where the kid liked the photo of an airsoft gun, not even a real gun, Dad.
You know, I don't even know how to comment on this. This is one of those things that you don't even really want to believe is real news. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I mean, all I know is that I remember when, and we've mentioned this on the air before, when you went to Disney that time and they tracked the vehicle into the, we had a Glock sticker on the car, and they tracked the vehicle all the way through the parking lot because of the gun sticker. And then when you went inside Disney, they came to you with security and asked you to pull your shirt up to see if you were carrying a firearm. I mean, you know, it's just, it's more of that. It's more of the same thing. It's more of the nanny state. It's more of an, it's taking away of our Second Amendment rights. But I mean, to even, it, this goes against your First Amendment, your Second Amendment. It goes against everything. I mean, it's completely ridiculous that, I mean, an airsoft gun, it's not going to kill anybody. It's not one of those kind of weapons that shoots little plastic pellets. That's going to sting a little bit if you shoot somebody with it. But the reality is, it's not something that's even that dangerous, except you need to be wearing goggles if you're doing it with your friends and make sure somebody gets shot in the eye. But I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, we had a friend of ours, you know, Austin, both of us, a guy named John. He used to do a lot of the airsoft stuff and also the paintball stuff. And he loved those types of weapons, and he was very safe with them, very competent with them. So, ridiculous. By the way, just talk more about what's going on in schools. Therapy dogs, chocolate, Play-Doh at universities, now what people have their children to cope with finals. When I was at Florida State as a biochemistry major, I got to admit, a lot of kids got sick during finals week. I mean, they were puking and everything else. They were throwing up. They were getting sick. They were getting nervous. They're having to go to the bathroom. I mean, they're having all kinds of bowel issues. I got that. But, you know, now they're at the University of Pennsylvania, the college fix. For example, several different student groups are offered various study breaks, including a Zumba class, a video game stress reliever, and a chocolate and chocolate labs event. The Daily Presbyterian reports Penn State's De-Stress Fest included origami folding, Y gaming, brain massage music, and more, according to the university's website. The University of Michigan offered Play-Doh as an event billed as a way to de-stress before final exams, according to its Facebook page. Other relaxers at the event included glitter bottles, Legos, and dominoes. I mean, it's unbelievable. Meanwhile, students at Montana State University were invited to the library to de-stress by playing with furry friends provided by the Intermountain Therapy Animals, including a group of dogs and a 900-pound donkey named Oliver, the Bozeman Daily Chronicle reported. Added that a survey taken from participating students shows that it did relieve stress. I mean, what are these snowflakes going to do, Austin, the first time they go out and get a job and they get fired? You know, what are they going to do with all that? I mean, how are they going to deal? Are they going to go home and cry? Oh, that's right. About a third of them are moving back into the basement with their mommy and daddy anyhow, so I guess they don't care to do that. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, you know, the problem is, I mean, what happens when you have a job and they say, hey, it's crunch time, we have to get these reports done, or we need this analysis done, or we have to have this presentation done, and we have to have it done in a couple hours? They're going to freak out? They're going to melt down and be like, okay, first off, I got to go to the Play-Doh room and go pet my chocolate lab and play with my glitter balls and domino before I have to do this work? I can't handle that right now. I don't know. I mean, I like universities having other types of activities. I've heard of some places they've been doing stuff, like zip lining and rock wall climbing and stuff like that. That's kind of cool just on a normal basis. But some of this other stuff that's really, really geared to try and I don't want to say necessarily feminize this population, especially the males, because that's not necessarily what it's doing, but it's really starting to soften them up, I guess you could say that, because it's trying to teach these, well, actually young adults. I mean, some of these guys are 20, 21, 22, 23 years old. They're not little children anymore. They're not 12 or 13. It's really teaching them that everybody cares about your feelings. Everybody's concerned about your stress. Everybody wants to make sure that your life's as easy as physically possible. When in reality, when you get into the real world, like the real, real world, nobody cares about you. Nobody cares what you think. Nobody cares about how you feel. And nobody cares about your stress. That's just a simple fact. I'm not saying that's my opinion. I'm not saying that's dad's opinion. But in the real, true, hardcore world, that's how everybody is. So trying to make these kids think for 4 to 5 years of their life in college that everybody's so concerned about their stress and their therapy dogs and Play-Doh and chocolate and Zumba classes, that these are all really important accessories and activities that need to be provided for them on a weekly basis whenever anything gets stressful, you're really, really painting a non-realistic view of what the world is when they get out into it. And I'm not saying these things can't benefit them, and when they older, maybe they'll say, hey, this is something I like to do. I like to take this class. I like to rock wall climb. Okay, whatever. That's fine, on their own accord. But the problem is these universities are trying to make it so accessible and so available that, like, hey, this is what you need to do. It's nonsense. The same thing that I just talked about with the guns. Everything is to try and soften up this generation and make them incredibly weak, make them incredibly submissive, and make them have absolutely no drive to go against the norm, to basically basically sit back, relax, follow orders, submit to authority, and do nothing else, question nothing. That's what all of this boils down to, because if this generation, which we've seen now that has their head buried in their iPhones 24/7, I mean, you go out to restaurants, you see them sometimes, they're all sitting at dinner tables and nobody's talking, everybody's on their phone, it's quite embarrassing. This is the generation that's coming up. You have the millennials, but then you also have the Generation X, which is the one right below this, the teenagers now, that are really being brought into this, like this 13-year-old that got suspended for liking the gun post. He's like the Generation X. They're not, their scope of reality is going to be so skewed, it's going to be unreal, and that's what the globalists have pushed for, because they know this generation will be the easiest generation to convey their globalist message, to make sure that the mark of the beast is accepted, to make sure the globalist currency is accepted, to make sure the entire New World Order is accepted. This is the mindset they needed, the textbook mindset they needed, and they're getting that now, Dad, through the education systems all the way down as being very successful. That's why I keep telling everybody, make sure if you have kids, you raise them as best you can as far as teaching them about the real world, and possibly if you can as far as homeschool them or private school, make sure they're getting a good, clean education, not this globalist indoctrination camps like a lot of these schools have turned into.
You know, a few weeks ago we talked about how they used to use subliminal programming in the Star Spangled Banner back in the 60s, in which they would splice negatives and it would say, obey, submit, obey God, the state is God. And they would put all of these things in the Star Spangled Banner to program the minds of the people watching TV to submit. You know, of course, this was done in conjunction with their fluoride programs and all of the drugs they were putting into the water, even back then programs. But now they've gone it a step notch further. They followed the example by Adolf Hitler, in which he said, give me the minds of the youth, and I will control Germany and control the future. And that's exactly what they've done. They've turned this entire thing around, and they've taken these children, and they've turned them into this pro-indoctrination camp of, okay, like Harvard said the other day, it's all right to have a fluid gender, that you can be a male one day and a woman the next day, and that's cool. Well, that's not the way God made them. It didn't make them Adam and Steve. He made them Adam and Eve, and didn't make them Eve and Darla. He didn't do all that. I mean, these are actual people that, you know, we are humans. We are humans, and we are male and we are female. There's nothing else. But they're blurring those lines now with drugs and with all this political correctness, especially softening these boys up, making them think they have to have Play-Doh before they take a final. It's ridiculous. By the way, Facebook has deleted tens of thousands of accounts ahead of the UK election. This is from Zero Hedge. Ahead of the British general election on June the 8th, Facebook has deleted tens of thousands of accounts in Britain in its ongoing battle with quote-unquote fake news. Well, it's not fake news, it's the alternative news. This is according to the AP Reports, which is a Rothschild-owned organization. The campaign is part of Facebook's evolving response to accusations the group was responsible for influencing the U.S. presidential election through the spread of fake news stories and filter bubbles. Additionally, on Monday, the social network announced a national print advertising campaign in the UK to educate the British public about fake news as part of a concerted global effort to crack down on the false information epidemic it has seen on its platform. The ad suggests that readers should be skeptical of headlines and to look closely at the URL. The company says it's made improvements to help them detect fake news accounts more effectively. This spring cleaning would reduce the amount of material generated through inauthentic activity, including spam, misinformation, or other deceptive content that is often shared by creators of fake accounts. The new activities reflect an effort by Facebook to head off a potential reaction from lawmakers, similar to those in Germany pursuing fines for fake news. Now, I want to make a couple comments here real quick. Number one, I hate fake news. I hate these satire websites that don't tell you they're satire. And they start saying all of this crazy stuff. About 90% of it's true. They throw 10% in there and it's complete and total lie. Then you've got to go in and you've got to start doing research to try to document this stuff from someplace else. Then you find out the entire thing was a spoof. I don't like anything like that because, number one, it attributes and contributes to fake news. I can't tell you how many news sites I have seen that have linked to these fake stories that don't even exist without bothering to vet the stories. I know on my personal emails that I send out to my friends, I always say, if I'm not sure about something, if it's really, really extreme, I always go, this story has not been vetted. I have absolutely no idea if any of this is true. Now, of course, on the other hand, Facebook is going in too, and they're taking out legitimate alternative news stories saying that they're fake news. A few months ago, or back in February, when I announced on our show about what was going on with Kushner's in the White House, it was interesting because I had one of my friends who's a national TV pastor said to me, when I sent him the information on Kushner, he said, this is fake news. So then I went back and I said, okay, it might be fake news. I've got it from one source. I went back and found it from like eight more sources. Then I sent the eight sources to this pastor of mine, all different sources now saying the same thing, not quoting each other. You have to be careful because a lot of them quote each other, and then they're all getting it from the same source. And I sent out eight more sources, all independent quoting, not going back to the original source. And the guy got unbelievably angry at me. He said, it's fake news, don't report it. Now we know that everything I found out about Kushner back in February when we reported it was absolutely true. So guys, don't believe everything you read. I always send out a disclaimer with my personal emails that I send out from my house. I always say, look, I don't read everything I send out. Use your own judgment. Use your Christian lenses. Evaluate whether you think this is true. If you don't think it's true, turn around, try to find another story that's similar to it. If you can't find it's true, just let it go, let it drop, and don't forward it. That's what I always tell people. Don't keep telling people it's real, because I've had so many people send me those. I check them out. They're fake. And I always send them back and say, look, let's just go ahead and not try to send those out anymore. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right. Those just absolutely run me up the wall as far as when I've seen some stuff like that. And all it is, it's about getting viewership. It's about getting likes. It's about getting reposts. It's all about them trying to catch everybody and get them to repost it because it's got a shocker title and people go, oh, that must be legit. That type of crap needs to be removed immediately. I've blatantly spammed stuff when I see it like that. I'll report it as spam because it is. It doesn't need to be up. The problem is what we've seen now is that the globalist media and everything they're about is they're trying to use those few satire websites that don't even need to be on the internet because they're just garbage is the excuse for them to go in and regulate the internet and then start deeming everything that they don't agree with to be fake news. That's what all this came back down to last year with Hillary and Obama and Trump. Is this is what it all came down to, is them trying to control the narrative. So now they can say, well, you see this article right here, this was fake news. Then another well-known website may publish it or republish it, but then later takes it down. But they say, well, they're publishing fake news now. We need to shut these whole guys down because they do not want the mainstream narrative being trampled on by the alternative media. But yeah, I don't, that stuff doesn't need to be aired at all, Dad.
I agree. Oh, by the way, I mentioned earlier about all the kids are moving home. I pulled up a story out from Zero Hedge. Confirmed by a recent study conducted by Fidelity and Stanford Center on Longevity, the added stress of caring for all those adult children is putting a severe emotional and financial strain on baby boomers. That would be me, with over 75% saying that their adult children are cutting into their budgets, and over 50% are saying they're generally less happy about life because the brat kids won't move out. That said, these boomer parents shouldn't expect their basement-dwelling snowflakes to leave the nest for the second time anytime in the near future because, as we pointed out a few weeks ago, roughly one-third of all millennials, that's one-third, live at home with their parents, and one-fourth of them can't be bothered with enrolling in school or finding a job. They're too busy sitting in their parents' basement smoking pot. According to Bloomberg, there are 2.2 million millennials who live at home with mom but neither attended classes or have a job. Of those, 40% of them are already in their 30s, and they're predominantly white and have a high school diploma or less. Meanwhile, for the first time in history, more young adults today are living at home with mom and dad than with a spouse. I'm going to repeat that last sentence. For the first time in history, more young adults are living at home with mom and dad than married with a spouse. What do you think, Oz?
Well, what do you expect with this generation? We just talked about exactly what we just said. The Play-Doh and dogs and dominoes and glitter balls and everything they have right now. This is what this generation's produced. It's a very, very soft generation. They don't know how to cope or handle anything. And as soon as they don't get exactly what they want, as soon as they want it, from this instant gratification lifestyle, an entire generation that we've produced now. I mean, you see with the fast food, you see with the iPhones, you see with the internet, you see with everything, it's got to be immediate now. And we've all gotten used to it. We all have. But you have some elements of this generation that are so linked up to it and so locked in and obsessed with it, they will not do anything or engage in anything unless they can have it immediately right now. And so then it's just easier, okay, mom and dad, I'm going to go live back in your basement as a 25 or 30 year old grown adult because I don't really want to do anything else. I mean, it's not uncommon at all anymore, and it's quite sad because this generation has no idea how to prep. They have no idea how to cook food as far as real food outdoors without having their fast food make it for them. You know, they don't know how to go out and actually fire weapons, train, live off the land, camp, any of this stuff. And again, it's been the entire plan from the globalist agenda from the beginning. That's why I encourage everybody, if you have kids, if you have friends that have kids, take them out to go do stuff. Take them out camping for a week. Then teach them how to make a bonfire, campfire. Teach them how to cook on an open stove as far as on a fire. Teach them how to run a bow and arrow. Teach them how to shoot. Teach them how to do useful life-saving skills that could benefit them one day, because most of these kids that act like this don't know how to do anything. And it's not necessarily 100% their fault, even though a lot of it is, but it's also too their parents, because we've had this generation now that their parents are were kids having them in the 80s and 90s, and they're having these kids now, and they don't even know how to do anything. And so it's just getting incrementally worse and worse and worse and worse, and then we wonder why we're having such an incredibly bad drug epidemic in the United States. Not saying that the CIA is not allowing it to happen and intentionally funding it, but we have this generation that doesn't know how to cope, so they start going to prescription drugs and Xanax and benzodiazepines and antidepressants, all these drugs. I mean, pharmaceuticals are at an all-time high. United States pharmaceuticals did almost $500 billion in sales last year. I mean, these are astronomical numbers. And then you see from the U.S. Center Disease Control put off, the illicit drugs now have reached a level, a warlike level of annual deaths. The numbers for 2016 are not in yet, but 2015, we had 52,404 drug overdose deaths in 2015, 63% of those involving opiates, either prescription opiates or heroin or heroin-like opiates. This is a significant problem that's getting worse, and nobody wants to address the real issue. Why we're continuing to fund the opiate trade in the Middle East and Afghanistan, why we're still allowing the stuff to come in, why we still have open borders that we're allowing these guys to funnel it in. See, everybody always thinks the immigration thing is just about immigration. It's just about illegals coming here. It's not just that. The whole reason why the United States government as a whole, but not just, you know, the Trump administration, everybody, the globalists that are running it behind the scenes, I should say, will not stop the immigration. Why every time Trump has come in with an immigration ban, they immediately put a lawsuit on it, or they put an injunction on it, won't allow it to go through. They're allowing this as a cover to run a lot of these drugs in. They're allowing it as a cover for these gangs to bring a lot of these weapons in and continue the drug trade and make it explode in the United States. And we're funding it. We're even giving machine guns to the Mexican cartel via the ATF and Fast and the Furious 5 years ago. So we know exactly what's going on. In 2015, as I said, there were 52,404 deaths in the United States caused by drug overdose. It is the highest number of drug-related deaths in our country and our history. In a single year, we lost nearly as many Americans to drug overdose as we lost in World War I, and almost as many as we lost in the entire 12 years in Vietnam. We have lost in 1 year in the United States due to drug overdose. That's how bad this is getting. And then the FDA, DEA want to say, oh, well, we're going to ban kratom because there's some people that are taking it and they don't need to be taking it, even though it's one of the only compounds that I have gotten numerous positive feedbacks on for helping the people come off strong opiates. It's not something I recommend utilizing and doing if you don't need to do it, but if you are trying to come off prescription drugs, I've heard great things about it. But then, of course, you see the DEA wants to ban it and make it Scheduled One as soon as we find something to help people get off opiates. It's all about Big Pharma. It's all about the illicit drug trade. It's all about the black op money for the CIA. And it's all about keeping the United States population in a subservient mindset, dumbed down, drugged up, and stupid, so we don't resist the tyranny that they're pushing on us on a daily basis, Dad.
I couldn't have said that any better. I mean, you know, you're absolutely right. The drugs coming in Afghanistan, $1 trillion worth of heroin a year. And I've mentioned it before on the show. My wife's, Austin's mother, Sharon, her half-brother died of a heroin overdose, which is almost 2.5 years ago now. I mean, this hit my family close. I mean, my brother-in-law, right? Gone, dead. Died over there on Heroin Highway on Colonial Drive in Orlando. So another reason for you guys to stay out of Orlando. It's got some really bad crime area, especially on the Colonial Drive area. But it's just one of those things. I've got some good news on the immunization front. Stay with me on this. This is from John Rappaport. Right now, lawyers and their clients are suing Merck, the manufacturer, for injuries incurred from Merck's shingles vaccines, Zostavax. We talked about that last week in depth. Among the claimed injuries are contracting shingles, blindness, partial paralysis, brain damage, and death. One of the plaintiff's attorneys has told John Rappaport that he's already filed 2 cases in California. Each case has 50 plaintiffs. He states he has 5,000 clients waiting in the wings. 5,000. There are other attorneys with other plaintiffs, but wait, isn't there a federal law that bars people from suing vaccine manufacturers? Isn't that the law, the 1986 Childhood Vaccine Injury Act? Doesn't it demand that people go to a special vaccine tribunal court and plead and beg for compensation from the government? Well, it turns out that there are exemptions to this rule. Adult vaccines are not part of the 1986 federal law, Austin. The law shielding vaccine companies only applies to childhood vaccines. The Merck shingles vaccine is only for adults. Here from the Center for Disease Control is the list of adult vaccines: influenza, DTaP, MMR, VAR, shingles, HCV, HPV female, HPV male, PCV13. The list goes on and on. However, some of the vaccines on this list are recommended for both adults and children. When a vaccine is recommended by the CDC for both adults and children, adults seeking compensation for injury would not be permitted to argue their cases in ordinary courts and sue the manufacturer. Instead, they would have to go to their special vaccine court. So, guys, this is really, really good news for those of you who are suffering from the shingles vaccine and have gotten shingles from it. You can sue the holy living yin-yang out of these manufacturers and hopefully get these guys to stop putting this poison on the market. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, I saw it earlier from Rappaport when he put this out. It was pretty exciting because I didn't know about this. And this is going to be unprecedented, guys, because if this lawsuit actually goes through all the way and all these guys get paid a substantial sum of money, not only is this going to set a significant legal precedent in the vaccine market, because this has never happened before. This has never happened. Once this happens, if it goes through, this is going to put a big fat red flag out in front of all these other manufacturers that manufacture all these dirty vaccines, these toxic, disgusting, nasty vaccines. And it's going to say, hey, you guys want to play this game? Look what Merck just did. They just had to pay out $500 million or $400 million or whatever they end up having to pay out to all these guys. Maybe an idea, we should possibly start thinking about coming out with some vaccines that are slightly less toxic and aren't loaded up with 500 megagrams of aluminum per shot. Maybe that's a good idea, just something to look into. So this is pretty exciting. I really hope this is something that pushes through. I hope that the judges that are involved in this are not bought and paid for. And this is definitely something we need to be staying with and praying for and really supporting anybody that is able to sue these guys, because this is something that has to be done. I've talked about this for years. I talk about it on the show almost daily. The vaccines are one of the biggest threat to public health in the United States, not just the United States, globally. These things are so toxic and in some cases should never be used on anybody anybody. I'm not saying all vaccines are bad. I've never said that. What I'm saying is the current batch of vaccines that these manufacturers produce and put on the market now are so incredibly dangerous and toxic that I think you really, really, really need to do some deep research before you allow yourself or your children to be injected with a sludge. I mean, when you start seeing that there's been tens of thousands of girls that have been permanently damaged by the HPV vaccine, can't reproduce, don't have menstrual cycles anymore, 12, 13 years old, completely bedridden, completely handicapped, completely wheelchair-ridden, some of them dead, can't even function normally in society anymore, and it all happens right after they get the HPV vaccine. I've seen it happen. I've had the phone calls. I've had the emails. I see the articles every single day on it, yet nobody wants to address this crap. The HPV one is a childhood vaccine. That's why they're getting away with leaving this stuff on the market, and they haven't been literally just sued into bankruptcy. The next thing we have to do is get the 86 Vaccine Protection Act repealed. That has to be the next thing to do. But at least this step now, having these thousands of people sue Merck, I really hope is able to go through and we can start a precedent for this, Dad, because this is something that has to happen. We have no choice anymore.
Well, you're right. And that's why I was so disappointed when Trump put Gottlieb in head of the FDA.
Yes.
Because he's a huge proponent for vaccine manufacturers, and he's a huge proponent of no additional testing is necessary for vaccines and all of the side effects. I mean, this guy was like the worst pick on the planet for the FDA. Oh, by the way, a new study just came out that said that low-protein diet starves cancer cells. And it says the idea of starving cancer is getting traction. A strict low-protein diet, which means cutting out such meats, items as meats, eggs, and a dairy starves cancer cells and insulin to help stop their growth. Proteins contain two non-essential amino acids, serine and glycine, which cancer cells need. And tests on laboratory mice involving these removing these amino acids are also slow the growth of the cells. Researchers from the University of Glasgow found chemotherapy and radiotherapy boost the levels of amino acids in the cancer cells, suggesting that the conventional treatments are helping the cancers to grow, which we've all known that. These restricted diets may not work for all cancers. In the current study, it was effective against lymphoma and intestinal cancers, but the researchers fear it may not help cancers have a special genetic expression known as a KRAS gene that is found in pancreatic cancer, for instance. They also say that the diet is very restricted and specialized, and people shouldn't just adopt it without being supervised by a medical professional. Now, I'm going to say something about this. What I've learned in my clinical experience for years and years is this. When a person is working with an oncologist, they would be sent to my office as far to help them. I would recommend that they would go on a vegetarian diet, that they would get off all meats. Now, here's why. Your body requires large amounts of pancreatic enzymes to basically digest meat. Now, I'm talking beef, pork, anything, chicken, any of that stuff. And I would tell them, look, stay off of those types of proteins because they require too many pancreatic enzymes. Your body also uses pancreatic enzymes to help kill and get rid of these cancer cells. So you don't want to have to make your pancreas produce at both ends of trying to do both things. So that's what we would always tell folks. We had really good results in working with their doctor and working with us. Plus, what I used to always tell people is use the turmeric every single day, use the vitamin C intravenously every single day. Plus, always remember, you need vitamin E and vitamin D3 and potassium iodine. Those are really, really important because the potassium iodine really helps to supercharge the immune system. So those are the things that you really need to do if you have if you're having to fight cancer and you're working with your local doctor. Ask them about those particular products and always get your vitamin D3, D as in dog, 3 levels tested, and make sure your doctor knows what those are, because the vast majority of cancer patients are extremely deficient in vitamin D as in dog 3. I say D as in dog because a lot of people think I say B, and I'm saying D and D3. But also remember, if you're taking high dosing of D3, also take it with K2 and make sure you work with an oncologist who's willing to work with you from a natural standpoint, or find a medical doctor in your area like Katie did out in Colorado who's willing to work with you without the use of radiation or chemotherapy if you want to go that route. But again, all of those decisions are up to you. But always remember, you've got to make sure your intestinal tract is clean. You've got to make sure you're taking your supplements. You've got to make sure your body's not toxic. You've got to stay off of sugar, alcohol, and coffee if you're combating cancer. I mean, none of it, zero. Several years ago, a study was done in which they brought a Tibetan monk, a priest over from China, who said he could cure cancer with herbs. And he said there were 3 things that a person could not use if they had cancer, if they wished to recover from it. And they were coffee, alcohol, and sugar. He said if you put coffee, alcohol, or sugar into your system, what's going to happen is you're going to feed those cancer cells and you're not going to allow your body to recover. So guys, really, really important that if you're suffering with cancer, that you remember that you don't put any of that stuff in your body that allows that cancer to grow. And I've seen it repeatedly, because remember, a lot of people drink a lot of coffee, who eat a lot of sugar, who drink a lot of alcohol, a lot of these guys end up with cancer on an ongoing basis. So be really careful with your diet. Eat really clean. Take your supplements every single day. It'll do well for you. Officer, what do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right. And I mean, staying away from the glyphosate and the GMOs is a huge aspect because of how much we're exposed to them. That's one of the biggest things people don't realize. Your water and your food intake need to be as clean as you can physically and cash flow wise do, as far as economically, because those are the two things that we're exposed to on a regular basis that go in our body all day long that we can control with great control. The chemtrails, I hate them. We've been blessed in Florida lately. We've had no chemtrails lately. I don't know. Maybe Trump got a hold of them. We can pray and hope so. That would be awesome if it did. I don't know. But those two things right there, your food and your water, the two elements that you can control significantly, and you guys have to start doing so. So much as far as the information that you put in your mind because of what we're seeing now with the GMOs and how they're constantly trying to propagandize us with this nonsense. This is bizarre. You know how they did the whole avert the government shutdown, blah, blah, blah. We saw all that. You know, you guys, I didn't even realize this until I went through it. They made sure that the FDA and the USDA had a $3 million additional budget clause in there to spend on supporting Monsanto and GMO food ads for the population. I kid you not. The FDA and USDA are attempting to counter misinformation about GMO foods, and they're going to help us with U.S. taxpayer funds. Monsanto's in the midst of legal trouble after they got caught paying internet trolls. Remember, I talked about this last week. They actually got caught paying people to go online and counter any true information about GMOs and glyphosate and cancer and all the toxic effects it had. They were paying trolls to go on there and write back comments on it to make the public believe GMOs were good for them. Now the FDA will fund a campaign to promote genetically modified organisms in food under the agreement to keep the government funded through the end of September. The deal to avert a government shutdown allocates $3 million to consumer outreach and education regarding agricultural biotechnology, which includes genetic engineering of food and commodity crops. The money is to be used to tout the environmental, nutritional, food, safety, economic, and humanitarian impacts of biotech crops and their derivative food products. Ridiculous. Representative Nita Lowley, who's a Democrat, actually tried to get the measure struck from the bill. She came out of the hearing and said, it is not the responsibility of the FDA to mount a government-controlled propaganda campaign to convince the American public that GMO foods are safe. The FDA has to regulate the safety of our food supply and medical devices. They are not, nor should they be, in the pro-industry advertising business. I could not agree with her more on that. Using the public's money, guys, to basically proselytize us, to fall in line with Monsanto and spouting untested junk science that we need to eat this crap, does not fall under the general welfare clause of $3 million. The Washington Post tried to come out and say, well, the FDA currently has a $2.8 billion budget, so this is only a fraction of what they actually have in their budget that they're allocated to spend on this. First off, let's ignore the ridiculously overbloated $2.8 billion budget that the FDA has, that I have no idea what they even do with all that, and consider the fact that $3 million is still a substantial amount of money for anybody. Even if you are wealthy, $3 million is a lot of money, and taxpayers should not be on the hook for this for an unnecessary service. Guys, Monsanto is a multi-hundred billion dollar business. They have plenty of money to advocate for GMOs. They've already shown noticed that, where they spent millions of dollars paying trolls to go on websites. Why do we need to use taxpayer dollars to convince ourselves that we need to eat GMOs when we already know they're toxic? This goes to show you how they don't read anything before they pass anything, and that pretty much a large percentage of the government, Congress, the Senate, all these yee-yees up there don't do anything except what's in the best interest for them and what stuffs their pockets the most and what furthers the globalist agenda, because there is no reasonable, logical, or economical good reason that we should have to pay $3 million to the FDA out of taxpayer funds to make sure that people know Monsanto is safe and healthy when we know it's a complete and total lie, Dad.
Well, gut leaves the head. I mean, what do we expect was going to happen?
There you go.
Oh, by the way, the gay, supposedly former president Kenyon Obama is urging members of Congress to have the courage to save Obamacare. Now, I'm calling him the former supposedly president because I believe he usurped the presidency. I know Alan Key said that in the very beginning. I agree with that. I don't think he had the citizenship to be president of the United States. And quite frankly, I'm very disappointed in Trump, even back when he was running for president, when he said that he wasn't going to pursue the birther thing as far as the birth certificate. The former president made his first public remarks about the proposed health care legislation just days after House Republicans voted to pass the measure. If it passes the Senate, it would repeal and replace major parts of Obamacare, which I personally believe should be completely gutted. As everyone here now knows, the great debate is not settled but continues. Obama, the gay Kenyon, said at the John F. Kennedy Library while accepting the annual Profile and Courage Award, which blows my mind he got that, "It is my fervent hope and the hope of millions that regardless of party, such courage is still possible." Unbelievable. "That today's members of Congress regarding a party are willing to look at the facts. The facts are, yeah, okay, that's a horrible program, and speak the truth, even when it contradicts party positions. I hope that current members of Congress recall that it actually doesn't take a lot of courage to aid those that are already powerful, already comfortable, and already influential, but it does require some courage to champion the vulnerable and the sick and the infirmed," he continued. This guy is a gift that won't stop giving nightmarish comments to the American population. I wish he would just go retire back to Kenya and be done with our country, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know what he even is trying to do here. Well, I mean, he's a globalist. We know exactly what he did for the last 8 years. And this is what he's trying to further now. They don't want, and like I said, we'll see if this thing actually gets through the Senate. I mean, I'm praying. I really am. I really, really think we all need to be praying that this health care reform needs to go through the Senate. But there's a very good possibility, if these bought and paid for politicians are up there, that the globalists are going to step in with one of their favors that they need for them to vote this thing down, or they're going to come in and say, well, we need you guys to revise it, or we need to come up with our own version of it, whatever it is. I don't know. We'll play it by ear and keep watching it. It's great that it already got traction, but like I said, there's some really, really, really corrupt boys up there in the Senate, so we're going to have to keep seeing what they're doing. Also, too, now, drug companies don't even necessarily need to give doctors thousands of dollars in kickbacks anymore to sway them to prescribe their overpriced medications. A new study just published online in JAMA Internal Medicine shows that doctors who receive free meals or free meal gift cards from a pharmaceutical company were more likely to prescribe the drug the company was promoting than doctors who received no such meals or gift cards. This is ridiculous. These guys are bought so cheap. The findings of the study were based on an analysis of U.S. government data which tracked both industry payments to doctors and physicians from Medicare Part D and prescriptions of drugs. Researchers analyzed payments and prescriptions in 2013 associated with three brand-name cardiovascular drugs and one antidepressant. It doesn't say this in here, but bet money one of those is a statin drug, which you pretty much already know it is. All of the drugs that had lower-cost alternatives basically were not chosen by the doctors that were receiving free meals or gift cards. But this is what's funny to me, is that when people call us up, this isn't funny, it's just in an ironic manner, because you see it so clearly when you're out of the picture. When you're involved in it, and I guess you're a patient, and you're with these doctors, you know, you're kind of like, okay, I need to listen to what they have to say. But when you step out of it, and you see these guys that they say, oh, well, your cholesterol's at 199 or it's at 201. You need to be on statins immediately. And you don't want the generic one. You want to go on this one, right? You want to go on the good one. You want to go on the name brand one. They do this stuff all the time because they have to push the pharmaceuticals. They get free meals. They get kickbacks. They get all kinds of stuff. There is a whole nother underground subsection of pharmaceutical and doctor relations that most people never even know about. When I learned about this and started hearing the stories and all the stuff that a lot of these guys were involved in and a lot of stuff they were getting kickbacks from these pharmaceutical reps. Remember, a lot of these pharmaceutical reps make well over six digits a year, some of these guys. I mean, some of them make very, very good money, especially with bonuses. If that means they're going to bump their bonus up another $20,000-$30,000 that month, and they need to throw a doctor an extra $4,000-$5,000, or they need to take him out to some fancy steakhouse, or they need to give him a gift card for this, you better believe they're going to do so. And this is how it continues to go. This is why the pharmaceutical did almost $500 billion in sales last year. This is why it's growing every single year. It's continuing to go up further and further and further. That's why it's so important, guys. If you have the option, if before you start going the medication route, look at the natural approach. Look at your diet. See what you're putting in your body. See if you're eating hydrogenated oils, you're eating artificial flavors, artificial colors, artificial sweeteners. If you're putting all these substances in your body, look at the water you're drinking. See if you're taking any good high-quality supplements. And make arrangements. If you need to call us up here at Health Masters and you're trying to get some advice on what supplements to take, call us up. That's what we're here for. But there's so many different natural approaches you can take to really get your health in line a lot of times. There's no need to go the medication route in a lot of cases. Do medications save people's lives sometimes? Absolutely. I'm not knocking that. Are they absolutely needed sometimes? 100%. But are they overprescribed tremendously? You better believe it. In most cases, can natural approaches be used and completely skip the medication route? You better believe it. That's why I tell people, go the natural route first. It's always here. The medications aren't going anywhere. The doctors aren't going anywhere. If you absolutely cannot get the natural approach, the food, the training, the supplements, the high-quality nutrients to work in 2, 3, 4 months and you really put forth an effort, then you have the pharmaceuticals to go back on. But don't do it the other way around, man. Way too many people call us up with all types of significant health problems that, in my opinion, could have been seriously avoided by just taking a natural approach first and not going the medical route, Dad.
I couldn't have said any better. And by the way, I was just talking about vitamin C being used for cancer therapy. A new study shows vitamin C might just function as powerful anti-cancer medicine. Research at the University of Salford in the UK found that using vitamin C inhibited the growth of cancer cells in the laboratory. Vitamin C also showed a potency that was 10 times higher than the experimental drug 2-DG in the process, according to researchers. Cancer remains one of the leading causes of death worldwide. The National Cancer Institute projects that nearly 40% of American men and women will develop cancer. More aggressive forms of cancer have not always responded to treatments. Vitamin C starves cancer stem-like cells in a recent study. According to the researchers, vitamin C, now they're talking about oral vitamin C now, vitamin C intravenously is even more powerful, and it's a good way to do it together, do both oral and intravenously, by processing a process called glycolysis. The process responsible for glucose metabolism, prevents the mitochondria from gaining essential energy for survival. Using vitamin C as an add-on treatment to chemotherapy may show potential in stemming tumor recurrence and further progression of cancer. Now, here's what I don't understand. They're telling you how the vitamin C is 10 times more effective than this chemotherapy drug they're testing, but then they're telling you to use it in addition to the chemotherapy drug. That doesn't make any sense. If it's 10 times more effective than the chemotherapy drug, and you're working with an oncologist who wants to use just vitamin C intravenously and orally, along with iodine, all these different things we talked about earlier, why not try that approach first? That's what Katie did, David Hodges' ex-co-host, and she was able to completely cure her breast cancer. But guys, again, I'm not giving you advice as far as what you need to do for your cancer treatment. Check with your oncologist, check with your medical doctor. Well, just a food for thought. If vitamin C is that effective, why is it not being used in every single cancer protocol, whether or not the chemotherapy or the radiation is used, either one, Austin? Make more sense to me. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. I was just saying a minute ago here. I mean, when you know there's different options like that, like intravenous vitamin C or even oral vitamin C if you're trying to keep your costs down. You know, the buffered vitamin C that we have, I mean, I can take anywhere from 6,000 to 8,000 milligrams a day easily, all day long, and not have any issues as far as with stomach or bowels because it's buffered vitamin C. That's something you can take on a regular basis if you're really trying to fight something. The intravenous vitamin C is awesome because you can handle 50,000 milligrams like our doctor does down here in Florida. That's an incredible dosage. But again, like we just said, if you know somebody that's interested in this or you know somebody that's having a health concern like this, try to show them what's going on as far as from a natural approach and try and keep them out of that medical model. Because there was a girl the other day. She was having an issue with her thyroid. And I think I told you guys about this. She called in. She had an issue with her thyroid. The T3 numbers were down. It was basically a hypothyroid. So the doctor said, you got a sluggish thyroid. Something's probably wrong with it. We need to remove your whole thyroid. 35 years old, girl had her entire thyroid removed. Been on T3 medication now the last 4 years. Hair's fallen out. Has no energy. Can't function properly. Can't do anything. Mental acuity's through the floor. And she's trying to figure out what to do and see if she can take some natural supplements to get basically her functioning back. And the problem is, I told her, I said, you don't have a thyroid, ma'am. You know, I mean, I would love to help you. We would absolutely do anything we can. Now, you can still take iodine. You can still take natural supplements, the ultimate multiple omega-3s, B-complex. A lot of those are still probably going to help out your energy and your adrenals and everything else. But when you start having organs removed that God placed in your body, there's always going to be side effects. The same thing with the gallbladder. Golly, I can't tell you how many times I've had people call me up and tell me, yeah, my gallbladder was plugged up, right? A sluggish gallbladder, and they removed my gallbladder. I'm 40 years old now with no gallbladder. And a lot of times it's something as simple as doing a gallbladder fast. You know, we have that on our website for free. A couple gallons of orange juice. Apple juice. You can look it on the website at healthmasters.com. That's the stuff we have on our website. There's so many other options like that, like Dad said, with the vitamin C IV. You know, even with the immune support DF that we have on sale right now as product of the week, that's an incredibly good product for people that are having issues with autoimmune or even just type of immune system, and they're trying to increase their immune functioning. That works great for that. So, yes, Dad, I'm really doing the best I can. We both are at really trying to help people on the phone, via the internet, via the email, via the website, because this is what we're doing, guys. We're out here. We're on the show. We do this all day, every day, and trying to get people in a healthier state of mind, a healthier lifestyle, longer living, because the more people we can have that are awake, that are clear-minded, that are Christian patriots, that are ready to stand with us and, you know, keep our rights if we need them, you got to be healthy to do that. So the more of those guys that we can keep supported and keep together, that's what we're here to do, man, is keep everybody going.
No, you're absolutely right. And I want to thank you guys also, for supporting us. I mean, you know, you listen to the show, you get your supplements from us, you get your multiple vitamin from us, you know, you pray for us. I mean, thank you. I want you to know I appreciate you. Oh, by the way, here's a funny, I had to do this because scientists are attempting to prove that religious people are crazy. In other words, we have something wrong with our brain. According to a study done by the researchers at Northwestern University, damage in a particular part of the brain is linked to an increase in religious fundamentalism. In particular, lesions in the ventromedial prefrontal cortex reduce cognitive flexibility, the ability to challenge our beliefs based on new evidence. The research was conducted by Jordan Grafman, who utilized data gathering from the Vietnam War veterans as part of the Vietnam head injury study. And the study is being used to claim further that religious beliefs are centered in the prefrontal cortex. Now, scientists are claiming that they are not saying religious people overall are mentally inflexible or that a belief is caused by brain damage. However, when one compares a brain damage to an increase in a religion, then it typically means that scientists such as Jordan are trying to label those who have religious beliefs as mentally unstable. Now, I wanted to say this because I understand that there are a lot of Christians who act like nuts. I got that. And quite frankly, if you heard me doing a show and you'd never heard any of this stuff before, you'd probably think that Austin and I are both nuts. I got that. But the reality is this, you know, just because somebody has a belief, just because somebody believes in Muhammad or believes in Allah or believes in Buddha or believes in Jesus Christ or believes in Yahweh or Yeshua, it doesn't mean they're crazy. It means they have a particular belief. And a lot of those belief systems are based on behavioral programs that were put into their minds when they were little. That's why I feel so blessed to have been raised as a Christian, because I realize that without God, without Yahweh, without Yeshua, nothing works. The entire other belief systems in the world simply don't tie the things together the way they should be tied together, Austin, as far as I'm concerned. So I always tell people, look, guys, just because you believe one thing doesn't mean you're right or wrong, but it means that's your belief. Now, as far as Christians, I believe that what we believe is completely right, especially when I start doing the teachings on the blood of Christ and the interdimensional energy that's created, all the stuff that we talk about. I believe all of that is right about what the Bible says about Christ, all of it. But just because somebody believes a little differently as far as doctrine than you believe, that doesn't mean they're right or wrong. The Bible leaves a little bit of flexibility as far as what some people believe. There are charismatics out there that speak in other tongues, and then there are Baptists that say that all charismatics who speak in tongues are of the devil. I mean, there are all these different... That's what they say. And so they call them the holy roller churches. I mean, the whole thing is this. Guys, listen to me. You know, as long as you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've accepted Him as that, you know, if we differ a little bit on the other stuff as far as what we believe about this or with that, it doesn't make any difference. Don't get caught up in the minors. Stay with the majors and realize that we're all blessed to be here, and we're blessed to be part of the family of God through Yeshua and through Yahweh. Guys, I want to thank you for listening today. I want to thank you for everything that you do for us. I love you guys, and I appreciate you. Austin, I'll go ahead and write the summary up today. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Sounds good, bud. Also, too, just in other quick news, I want to give everybody a heads up. Any of our Western listeners out towards Washington, it's like 4 p.m. our time. I think it's 1 p.m. or 12 p.m. y'all's time. Emergency was declared over in central Hanford in eastern Washington State after the roof of a tunnel used to store highly radioactive contaminated waste collapsed. Several thousand workers at the nuclear reservation were told to take shelter in buildings. So far, the breach at the defunct Purex processing plant tunnel could expose the radioactive material in the tunnel to the atmosphere. As of right now, no airborne radiation has been detected, I think, as of noon Pacific time. So far, all workers have been accounted for. Just wanted to give everybody a heads up on that. If anybody is out in that area, if you got any radiation meters or anything and you live towards that area, I would definitely use one. If you, in general, don't have a radiation meter, I would highly suggest you buy one. They're not that expensive. You can buy them online, you know, $30-$40 for one, especially if you live near a nuclear power plant. We have one here because we have a nuclear power plant down south towards Miami, and it's just good to know if there is something with that to kind of get an idea of what's floating around, because radiation is one of those nasty little things. You don't see it. You don't know about it. It's completely silent, deadly, except it's definitely having an effect on you. You just don't see it until the results are that severe. Probably won't be anything too crazy out there, but I did want to give everybody a heads up on that, because I do know we have some customers out in Washington. Don't know how close you guys are to central Hanford, but yeah, just heads up on that. Also, too, the Immune Support DF will be on sale till tonight, as most of the products of the week always are, 15% off. And then the other products that we have on there, you can vote on them. This will be the end of it tonight to vote on them. Let's see here. And so if you guys, it looks like we have the CoQ10 is winning right now, which will probably win in the morning and be the main winner. So if you guys need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.